Lesson 29 in the book of Ephesians. We left off in verse 19, chapter 3, verse 19, and as it reads, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And to know the love of Christ, again, that is unconditional, the love of Christ, what he did us. You know, we looked at three times the Bible talks about the love of Christ. And you would think Paul or any other apostle would preach that and teach that forever, but it's not. It's just that. But that's an infinite love. And it's based on what he did at Calvary. It's not based on his earthly ministry. It's not based on Moses' ministry. It's what he did at Calvary. And that's truly amazing. Because if it wasn't for Calvary, Calvary is where everything is centered around the whole Bible. You know, so you know the love of Christ, and that is what the mystery program today does for you. That's what Paul's talking about in all these, what were we up to this point? And Ephesians. And that is what grace does for you. It makes his love everything. You know, everybody, there's not a person sitting here today that don't want to be loved. You know, there's not a person here today that don't want to be loved. Or no, you want to be loved. But the love that God gave for through his son at Calvary, it exceeds far more than the love that me and I can have for each other. You know that? Because it's unconditional, isn't it? Praise God. And he said, and it, you know what? His love is everything, and that's what motivates us. You love the Word of God. You love Christ so much, that's why you're here today. You don't love this building. You don't love your preacher. You love Christ enough that you want to know more. And it gives us security. And it's to know it through the doctrine given to you and I through the Apostle Paul. Now, I can stress this over and over again. Peter taught doctrine, didn't he? Lord Jesus Christ taught doctrine. John the Baptist taught doctrine. Moses taught doctrine. But when you get in that doctrine, does it motivate you the way Paul's doctrine through Christ motivates you? It really don't, because that's a work performance type of motivation. And you make it, you know, you're secure to stand, and God measures love, and it's based on that cross. And verse 19, "And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." That ye might be filled. What does Ephesians 2:22 says? "In whom ye also are builded together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit." That triune God living in the body of Christ. He says, you comprehend his love, and that love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and you might be filled with the fullness of God. That's big news. This is meat. You know, many of us might not be at this level right yet, but we got to understand that the book of Ephesians is the second book of doctrine that Paul teaches about advanced mystery truths. The first book of doctrine is what? The book of Romans. That's where you learn about justification. And the first five chapters deal with justification. And you know what? It's settled. You notice Paul don't bring this up in the book of Ephesians. He knows you got that doctrine down. You got the doctrine down about dead to sin, dead to law, dead to flesh. If it's dead, what good is it? You know? So, you know, yeah, it's going to flare up, but you beat it down. You say, I don't want to do those things. And then you get the book of Romans 9 through 11 deals with the dispensational view of Israel. What God is doing today, he set Israel aside and stuff. Then 12 through 16 has to do with application. What you learned back there, you can start applying it to your life. But who is the fullness of God? It's Christ, isn't it? Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Philippians, Colossians 2. Colossians 2. verse 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in who? Him. And you could say that being filled with all the fullness of God is to be filled with Christ, couldn't you? And this is true, but how is Christ in you? How is that? He is in you by what? Faith and also what? What's the Spirit. There you go, the Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Ephesians 4:6 says, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And you got to be sure you leave that "you" in there, because some new Bibles take that out, by the way. So it's "he's in you all." And back in Ephesians 3:19, it says, "filled with the fullness of the God." That's that triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit filling the believer up. You know, sometimes we talk about we got the Holy Spirit inside of us and dwells in us, but you also got God the Father and God the Son in it. They're inseparable. That's the Godhead. And it's a threefold fullness, that inner strength of the Holy Spirit, and the experience of the dwelling of Christ and God the Father himself dwelling in you. You know, I think about this sometimes, guys. I'm like, whoa, this is big. This is much bigger than what I could ever dream up or want to, imagine. And you know what? It makes me think differently. But when I'm in my flesh or in myself or in my own spirit, boy, I can just do whatever I want to. I'm going to the Hall of Fame game tonight. I'm going to root on the Colts, and all that stuff. I'm like, well, that's nothing really wrong with it, but what do I do to partake in that? Do I indulge in the festivities, like everybody else, and get mine bent on things, Or you just sit there and say, something? I'm going to experience this game, and I'm going to enjoy it because I like football. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can do some things in your body that's not pleasing to God, right? We know that. What does 2 Corinthians chapter 6 say? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" That was one of our... We talked about the temple right up the street here, right? That has busts in them, has gods in them. So what was it say? "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Do you really want to enjoy what God the Father, as your Father, is? Right now we want to enjoy the same thing God the Father is our Father. Once you're saved, he's your Father, right? And do you want to enjoy the relationship in him? The way you do it is you have to behave like a what? A child or a son. There you go, a son. A child, we have to watch him and feed him and care for him and baby him and diaper him and all that stuff. But a son, he looks at us as a son and enjoy the Father. You got to be a son. And you come out from among them and be separated. This is talking religiously. You know that, don't you? We talked about earlier all the religious systems out there, and they have their own gods, and they have their own way to get to heaven and all that stuff, or get to God the Father, and there's only one way. And you know who that is. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you come out from among them. You be identified clearly. And he says, "I'll receive you unto myself, and I'll be a father to you." many of us have got kids in here. We got full-grown kids, and they're out there doing things. You know, they're married and doing their own things. They're still our children. And sometimes they do things unpleasing to the father, don't they? And to the mother. And it kind of makes you sick, don't it, guys? It really does. It's like, you know, I did that. I'm trying to teach them not to do that. And it's just like it's not pleasing and all. So and that is the holy temple and the holy shrine filled with the fullness of God. If the Godhead is filled inside of you today, then you're supposed to be doing what pleases God the Father. You know, but sometimes I don't. I'll be honest with you, and I know it grieves me. It grieves me, but sadly. And I just, you know, just won't duck your head and hide in the closet, but you're not going to hide from God, are you? He's inside of you. Now, Paul is praying for them that they get those four things that we looked at before, up to this point. He is praying that they would be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man. Not the physical man. Not that I can get strength by looking at signs and wonders and miracles. It's that inner man. And they would have to, and they would have that real, genuine inner strength that comes from the doctrine resident in their soul. Now it's getting deep, isn't it? It's going to get rooted down in there. You know, you was talking about walking in Him earlier. Now this doctrine is going to get rooted down inside of you. And the Holy Spirit energizes them and strengthens them and empowers them from within, not from without. I guarantee you, just about everybody sitting here today has been a part of some churches or visit churches that they want to empower you and indwell you from without. You know, they want to control you. They want, you know, to just get you involved in this and that. You know, smoke and mirrors and bands or whatever the case may be. That's not that inner man working. And I guarantee you that you trust Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again, and you trust that for your life. You have Him in there, and He's sitting there. He wants to get excited. He wants to be built up. He wants to grow. But if you feed Him the wrong doctrine, He don't grow, guys. You know what happened? You force that to make it grow. So it's you thinking it's working when the Holy Spirit's not working inside of you. And Christ would dwell in their hearts. That's where He's dwelling. Not up here in your mind. You know, that's your spirit, and you renew it, but He dwells in your heart, the real you. That's who I am in Christ. And, buddy, when you tap into that, it makes a world difference in some decisions we make, doesn't it? The person of the Lord Jesus Christ would fill them up, and that His actions and His attitudes and His viewpoints would be the thing that would dominate them. His life and character comes out. That's what He's teaching us up to this point. Or He's teaching Ephesians church that. Primarily. And we can tap in that same resource. When you get that down inside of you. You know the Ephesian church. Or the country of Ephesus. They was pretty wicked, wasn't they? You know, in world stuff. And you know, they was great as Diana's. When Paul was there preaching in the space of 2 hours. They said, great as Diana's. Great. They out, you know, drowned him out. But that didn't stop him from starting a church. See? Cities and stuff is very, very important where population is. You know that? You know, I look, every time we go to Chicago area and stuff, I'm going downtown, I see this high rise. And it's, you know, big high rise apartment building. And you probably think, there might be, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people at least living in that building. Let's say 5,000 people. There's 30,000 people within a mile radius. And within that, with other people, they usually don't go out 5 miles from where they live in a city. Okay? So you think of that one place right there, if you went there and there's 5,000 people in that building, you think you'd get 5 people meet with you? Well, you might, you know, yeah, 1%, 2%. You could start a ministry in a city and not go nowhere. And they wouldn't go nowhere. But what people tend to want to do, go out in the country, don't they? Go out in the suburbs, build a church way out there. Well, you see how economy sometimes forces people back to where there's people so they can survive more. not away from people. So I believe that's what Paul hits those cities, the big city. Because if you can go in a city, and we teach this all the time, you don't have to send somebody to Mexico or Spain or South Africa or anybody to share the gospel. And when they're already here in your city, you teach them and they can go back. See, that's what Paul did in all those cities. He taught people there and they spreaded the word out. Fascinating. But you've got to have that inside of you, don't you? You know, you got to have good doctrine and that they would comprehend and understand this great love that God has for us. And they would see the vastness of His love and understand the program that they're in and how it works and how it operates and how it would dominate and control them. What can control us too, the right way? It really can. But if you're like me, sometimes you're stubborn. You know, honestly, you know, you ever think about the time getting up, I'm not going to church today. I've got too much to do. You know, but you wait till Sunday to do it. The only time we get together, you know, I got to clean my house. And it's Sunday morning, so that's a great time. It's quiet around here. Everybody's sleeping. You know, I'm thinking about that. So, now, mind, I'm preaching myself here, okay? You know, I know, I'm looking at you. But I'm serious. You ever think about that? It's just like they wait till Sunday morning to do what they want to do. And I'm like, wait a minute, I miss you guys. But in my own flesh, I get up. I'm like, you know, it'd be nice just to sleep in. It'd be nice just to, hey, Leon. You know, can you preach today? I'm just going to, you know, go fishing. I haven't been fishing in 10 years. And I got a chance to go. You know, I'm going to Browns game. So, you know, I'm shutting church down. But, you know, I think about those things and all the time. And I'm human too, guys. You know that. And we all do that. And we just can't point fingers at just anybody. And what happens that they are filled with the fullness of God. And He's talking about taking those doctrinal things and seeing it become a reality in your life. That's why we preach the grace life. We allow the grace life work in us, and it's working in each one of us differently. See, you know, don't model yourself after me. God forbid, you'd be in a mess. But each one of us is different in Christ. And we're going to look at some things this morning about that and see the reality. The things taking root now, what matters. You know, if you wait till it's coming down the road 15 years from now, you know, it may never wait. It may never come. You know, you take, let that work in you right now and don't put a dampener on it. Start feeding it with the right doctrine. And a man, you know, a man gets saved and he trusts Jesus Christ as a Savior, and the Bible says that God Almighty predestinated you as a believer into the adoption of sons. To adoption of sons. Now, you know you're a son of God right now, but they're waiting for the adoption, aren't you? And adoption takes place at the catching away when Jesus Christ comes back and He catches the body of Christ up and He gives us a glorified body. And we are sent into the heavenly places to serve Him. Now, I know this might seem a little weird for some people because you've always been taught that, hey, you're going to stay on this earth, you're going to rule on this earth, you're going to live on this earth. You know? But the mystery program tells you something a little different. The mystery program talks about a heavenly places up there. You know, before that, the prophecy program was talking about the earthly places. And the day of the redemption, when you get that glorified body, is adoption of the redemption of the body. And that's at Romans 8:23. But when do you receive that adoption? Redemption of the body. When do you get that? You got it now?
No.
No, you don't have it now. You get it there. You get the glorified body and you declare the place and the position as full-grown sonship. You know, right now you got the sonship. Don't get me wrong. But when you get it and it becomes a reality is when He catches you away, the redemption of your body, and He gives you a glorified body. And right now, you're not there. We understand that, I believe. Because the purpose of God is forming the church and the body of Christ, and He leaves us here, down here, for the purpose of the ministry and so forth, until it's time to take us out of here. I had a dear brother, he's long gone with the Lord now. But, you know, he always told me, he goes, Ed, I don't think there's many people going to heaven that they think they are. And I got to thinking about that, I'm like, You know, this could be true. Because a lot of people profess some things, but they don't have it right here. They'll tell you what you want to hear. You ever notice that? But they don't have it right here. And he says maybe that's why it's taken so long for the dispensation of the grace to end. You know, filling up that body of Christ for that purpose. And I'm like, and you look out there and you think about those thousands and thousands and thousands of churches out there. And they're not teaching right doctrine, are they? They're teaching the false gospel to get you saved. And you're like, how are they getting saved? They're not becoming members of the body of Christ when they got you coming members of the kingdom. And it's scary, isn't it? But, you know, many of us dwell on that sometimes, but there ain't nothing we can do about it. You know, I like to take the preachers and shake them around a little bit, you know, and try to get some truth out of them. You know, people that sits under their ministry, you think, well, you know, are they being hypnotized or something? You know, but, you know, it's just sad. But therefore, he puts his spirit in you. And the spirit of God is called the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry right now, Abba Father. You know, God the Father right now is your father, and you can call daddy. That's what that means, daddy. It's wonderful to have a daddy, isn't it? You know, anybody can be a father. But there very few can be daddies. You know, and that's very, very important. Abba Father is a term that adopted son cries out. And we have received, but we haven't received that adoption yet, have we? And we are predestinated. And that predestination that God, before the world began, predestinated a body, didn't he? And we trust Christ died for our sins and buried and he places us into that body. And we are going to be physically and literally placed in that sonship status up there. That's going to be a glorious day, guys. You know, we think about the Olympics going on and how exciting it is to watch countries come together and win. You're rooting on. But that's, you know, that's now. And all the things that they've done for them, practice and build up and win. That's a big accomplishment. I'll share this with you right now. Same thing can happen to you. The more you get this doctrine inside of you, you got a textbook that tells us exactly what we need to do and how we need to perform. And like brother said earlier, the will of God, knowing the will of God, you can know it. It's not no mystical thing and hiding behind a rock over there. Or waiting for something to fall out of your tree and hit you in the head and say, oh, it must have been the will of God. I hear the will of God in people all the time, but, you know, I have to bite my tongue because, you know, you don't want to kick nobody in the teeth, right? But, you know, at the same time, you know what God requires us to do in the dispensation of grace. And I can encourage you this, when you study Romans through Philemon and get to understand this mystery program first, everything else will fall into place. And you can know what it's not. The parameters has been set, and that's who you are right there. And to grow and to be able to, once you've taken out of here, once we're taken out of here, and he positions us in positions knowing based on what we know in the doctrine. Because I know you don't study, if you're taking a science test, you didn't study math. You with me?
And I was just about to ask you, just what you said. Do you believe that that the rewards is separate from positions, and our position would be based on our doctrine knowledge? It'd be solely based on that, and it'd be separate from our rewards.
Well, the reward parts, we already got the rewards in Christ Jesus. Gold, silver, precious stones, that type of thing. That's a doctrine. That's knowing who you are. The positioning, God the Father does that. God the Son judges us for our rewards. See, what we've done in the body. But once when then he takes us, after he judges us up here, God the Son takes us and presents us to God the Father, and God the Father presents you in positions and places. See, that's a little bit differently, but you know, you got rewards by doing what you're supposed to be doing with the doctrine. And that builds on, You know, I think when you teach people and you bring people to Christ, that's a reward that God's going to give you, or God the Son. So what does it mean right now? He gives us the capacity and capability of living as though we already have it there. We teach that all the time, don't we? If you're already a son, you're already saved, and you already know you're going to be in heavenly places, can't you live like you already been there or already got there? Yes, you can. You know, you could, what's that?
Mindset.
The mindset there, and the knowledge of who that soul is and that spirit and all. So the position of making that position real in our life right now. You know, it's a wonderful feeling to know that I'm already seated in heavenly places. I'm complete in Christ right now. You know, and I'm thinking, wow, but how easy is it to forget about it during the week? You know, you're out there in a nasty now and now, and you're out there working with unsaved people, and they're vicious at you because you didn't give them the cabin they wanted or something, or you mowed the wrong lawn. You mowed the, you know, that was your mistake. But, you know, the thing is, you know, like they paid you to mow this place and you mowed it wrong. You know, or you sold them the wrong pair of shoes. You know, you're dealing with people all the time, but you can sit back and say, I know what you're saying, but let me help you a little bit. You know, they can make some good decisions in your life in a way that he says you're seated. He has been seated us together in heavenly places in Christ. Are you out there yet? Positionally, you are, right? But physically, you're not. But you're as good as out there, but the door's not open yet, is it? It's kind of shut. But think about it. The Holy Spirit takes that position that you have and makes it real in your life. I think of Israel program over here in times past. They had it going on. They had God there. He was dwelling in a temple. God, you know, creation. The Creator was there. And they was a people, and they had their positions. And they was a favored nation and all that stuff. They had it going on physically and spiritually. But their reward was over there, though. You know, that's the promise. Abraham's promise is they were eternal life in the land over there. And God, who counts these things are not yet, but as though we already there, he counts them as if we're already there, in other words. In Romans 8, that you have already been glorified. I'm not rambling, but I'm going to share this. And yet you sit there and you haven't been glorified yet, but in God's mind, it has already been accomplished. It's a fact. See, that's why if you read Paul's epistle, he's talking, and hath. You know, it's a done deal, isn't it? He's already given you this up front. All you got to do is trust his son that he died, and it's already yours. All the glory and all the rewards that God gives his son, God the Father gave his son, Jesus Christ, he's given it to you freely. And he gives us his spirit, the spirit of adoption, so that we right now can cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of God's ministry is in our life right now, and we have the privileges out there to operate in that same capacity. You know, I'm thinking, I do things sometimes, you know, whether it's eating or thinking somebody cut me off, or, you know, I train. You know, I'm watching this guy over here, you know, and he's in my tractor, and, you know, I'm very particular about my tractor, and, you know, he's got to drive it next week, and, you know, I'm thinking, okay, is he going to scrape the gears, you know? And I always say, listen, you see that mud puddle? My truck don't go in that mud puddle. You can pull a trailer in it, but don't put my tractor in that mud puddle. I can put my tractor in mud puddle. You know, I'm just doing these things. That's flesh.
Amen.
But, you know, it's flesh, but at the same time, it's teaching them that, you know, you don't have to run through a mud puddle. You know, you don't drive off the road, do you, Dan? You know, especially in springtime and stuff. You see people parked on the side of roads and they're sunk up like this. There's a reason why you don't pull off on the shoulder. You don't drive on the shoulder either. You know, and I teach them this. So I said, Don't you put my wheels on that grass. You keep it on the pavement. You know, and that way they don't have to call record service to come and pull them out. So, you know, I'm thinking about these things that in my what I've got to do with people. And you might think, oh, Lord, man, I don't want to ever ride with you. But it's, you know, it's just the principle of things. You teach them right, and then eventually they'll say, okay, I'm not driving off that road. You know, I'm going to get out of that truck and walk back there where I'm going to back up and look. Completely walk around my trailer so I won't hit nothing. And I always tell them, if you have to back up 5 feet and get out and look again, get out and look again. Because anything can change within 5 feet, can't it? You know, I didn't see that pole jump out there or that eave off that building. So you got to remind them, you got to remind yourself that you got to teach them this over and over and over. And that's what we're doing here. God, the Holy Spirit, is teaching us through His Word what to do in certain situations. You know, we don't have to make our decisions based on what? Emotions, guys. I sit back sometimes and think about the decisions I made because they pulled on my whole heartstrings so much. You know, I'm like, I gotta bite my tongue a little bit, you know, and all that stuff. I'm like, I see what you're saying. I know what you want. But let's just think about it a little bit. And you sleep on it, and guess what? You make a different decision. You literally make a different decision. We have the strength of by His Spirit in the inner man as Christ's life, that sonship life, settled down and is at home, and we comprehend what we are a part of, and that fills us up. Fills us up. And we now live, though we're already out there. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, He says, understand this wonderful position you have. And then in chapter 3, we're getting ready to close. Chapter 3, He says, let's put this stuff to work in your life down here right now. You're standing in state. That's how the Ephesians broke out. The first three chapters is your standing. And the last three chapters is your state of who you are, your positions. Father, we thank You for the day. And we ask, as we think about who we are in Christ and to live now and walk worthy now of that position that we have in You, as if we're already up there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.